Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alexander Stablowski. I'm the executive producer here. And today filling in with me is John Dustin from JED Insurance. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, and I appreciate the opportunity to co-host with you, Alex.
Well, I wish Jeffrey was here, but we have to fill in for him today.
Big shoes to fill.
Big shoes to fill. Well, across from us is a return guest, Jeffrey Roblin, who I know very, very well. And he's with Roblin Insurance. Jeff, how are you doing? Welcome back.
Doing well. Thank you for having me back.
It's a pleasure. Well, tell us what Roblin Insurance has been up to.
Sure. Well, same old.
Same old.
We've been around for about 90 years, so we've changed a little bit. But, you know, things are going. You know, summer tends to quiet down a little bit. People on the golf course and at the beach. And, we try to escape a little bit more. And, still plugging and chugging at kind of some of the industries that we focus a lot on.
Well, you got to plug and chug.
Yes, you do.
In your business. So you came in today and you wanted to talk about some of the trends that are happening with health insurance. So tell us.
Sure. Specifically, employee benefits. So talking about, group health insurance for an employer. Obviously, the age-old question, and really no agency, no benefits broker considers, health insurance or any type of insurance to be a commodity anymore. That's a dangerous thought or dangerous way of looking at things. But with that being said, cost is always going to be a driver, incredibly important to businesses. And what we've seen, and it's no secret, is the cost of health insurance, renewal after renewal, year after year, is skyrocketing. And it's getting out of hand. And businesses are having to make some very difficult decisions because they're weighing that bottom line, that health insurance premium expenditure, with the value that they provide to their employees and their prospective employees, candidates, job candidates, when they submit offers and so forth, and trying to offer something that's value-driven to their employees, but that doesn't break the bank. So that's kind of the age-old question. And so one of the trends I wanted to talk about was self-funding partially self-funding. Self-funding.
Why partially self-funding?
Well, they're two separate things. They're two separate things. That's what it's. That's the industry term. I didn't give it that label.
Is it fair to say, Jeff, because of the mass health care reform and Obamacare, the self-funding trend is more for the small to medium businesses than a total self-insurance plan?
Well, that's what we're seeing. Traditionally, self-funding.
He knows more about insurance than I do.
Well, a
little bit.
We all dabble. Traditionally, when people hear self-funding health insurance, that's traditionally been something for a large employer. They essentially are paying claims as they're incurred. But again, here in Massachusetts, thinking more about small to medium-sized businesses, let's just say, to put a benchmark, under 200 employees. Just to back up for 1 second, here in Massachusetts, we have the highest cost of health insurance in the country.
And great care.
Wow.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So it's a double standard. It's a blessing and a curse because we have some of the best doctors and hospitals in the country, if not the world, right here in our backyard. But we also pay for it, when you bring your kids to the doctor or when you get an x-ray or what have you. It all kind of is lumped in, to how those costs are derived. So anyway, small to medium-sized businesses trying to control their costs. Self-funding has always been available. It's always been an option, but it really hasn't been very popular in the past. And kind of the trend that we're seeing is more small to medium-sized businesses kind of at least expressing interest, if not taking it on. And you have a question, I can kind of keep going and elaborate more.
So the resilience is probably the employees are seeing their plan designs get worse and worse, and the employers are paying more. So they got to be open-minded to Roblin coming in with an out-of-the-box.
That's right. Yeah, again, in years past, it's kind of been something that's been shrugged off. But essentially how it works, and again, the self-funding model, that's also available to small and mid-sized business. But really the partially self-funded, what's called in the industry, is partially self-funded, are companies where the self-funding component is essentially transparent. So it's, for one, it's individually medically underwritten. And that's not something that a lot of people even know exists. You can have your 40 employees, and they'll have to fill out a questionnaire or maybe call in to an underwriter. And the group, in a fully insured model is rated based on demographics and industry and a few other very generic things. But when you have a healthy group, if you know your group is healthy and relatively young and they're going to underwrite well, this can be a great model because you're sharing some of that risk with the insurance company. And if you have a good year health-wise and your claims are low and your loss ratio is low, you actually can get a refund from the companies that have these types of plans.
How long out after the expiration of that term do they generally do the trending to make a refund?
The run out, it can vary, 6 months or so, yeah. But again, the nice thing about this is that it's all transparent to the employee. So just to compare the two models, fully insured is, your Blue Cross plan, let's say, you pay your premium, and whatever the difference is between your premium and your claims, Blue Cross pockets, that's profit to them. And with this model, you have a good year, let's say, and you have a healthy employee group, and they don't have a lot of claims, you're paying into essentially a fund that's set aside. And at the end of the year, you take a look, and if there's a big difference, you get what can be a very substantial refund, a check in the mail. So it's a nice thing.
That's an excellent way to approach it. Have you tried to adopt some of the HSA, FSA, HRA
sure.
plans to commingle with the homogenous ones?
Not as much with the self-funded.
Right, but on the regular side.
That's an alternative. Yeah, sure. There's a million ways. My job is sometimes very complex because there's a lot of different ways of going about things. And our job is to just kind of be an ambassador and an expert to introduce these different concepts. And certainly HRAs is a way of self-funding to an extent.
How do you see the objections from the owners to these?
What types of objections do they have? Well, one natural one, of course, is it's just much more of an involved process. Because it's underwritten, it's a little bit more invasive.
Guaranteed
right?
issue or no?
Nope.
Not guaranteed.
Nope. If you have, that's why this type of plan really is best for a company that has a younger workforce that, because of HIPAA, you can't know much, but you kind of know, if you have a healthy group, you can kind of make an assumption. And if that's not the case, and if you're not a good fit, the companies that do the underwriting and have these types of products, they'll let you know, and you kind of went through a little exercise for nothing, perhaps. But, certainly yes. If things come up in underwriting and those medical questionnaires, then it ends up being, probably not a good option.
I think it's great that you're offering these type of options to business owners because with all the competition you face with the healthcare
sure.
and the, like you said, not treating it like a regular product anymore, I think you have to have something extra to give them.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes back to cost. The cost has gotten so out of control for these, and it's business owners who really truly care about their employees. Because remember, the employees are also sharing some of the cost. It's not the business paying 100% typically of the premium. So that cost, these increases get passed on and deducted from these employees' paychecks. So they're really, it's kind of reached a point of desperation. And again, just going back, that's why we've seen, these types of alternative structures, if you will, plan structures, really take hold and take off here.
And are there networks, capitated networks?
No, the networks, again, it's pretty that's a good question. It's pretty transparent to the employees. So typically they'll use like a Cigna.
I'm getting an educational lesson from you too.
Cigna. Alex's eyes are glazing over a little bit here. It's like a lease network like Cigna or Aetna PPO network. So pretty transparent, a very strong network. The employee doesn't know the difference. When they take their kid to the doctor, to them, it's the same.
It's a funny thing. As a business owner, occasionally I always worry about going off something that's, a basic offering because of paperwork. So what about paperwork? You go with an HMO card and you just swipe it.
Yeah. No, that's a good question, too. A little bit maybe for whoever's doing the administration piece, but not really. It's more during the setup phase. There's a little bit of extra work involved.
Do you see any pushback from the HR folks?
Yeah, you see pushback. No, you really see pushback.
You see
pushback because it's just a foreign concept, and it is gaining steam, but it's still not, you know, something that's widespread. People feel very comfortable with their fully insured Blue Cross Blue Shield or Tufts or what have you plan. And this is something different, and something different, you know, that they can be seen as a threat because, you know, it's health insurance and it's incredibly important. So yes, we see, you know, we certainly do see pushback. You see pushback from employees too when they get a questionnaire in front of them that says, you know, what surgeries have you had in the past 6 years? Well, that can be seen as an invasive question, but you know, it's for a good purpose that it's being asked.
Yeah. Why do you see that as an invasive question?
Well, you know, you for one, because that information gets sent or processed by the insurance company, the underwriter. The HR director, let's say, doesn't and shouldn't see that information. That's protected under HIPAA privacy, if you know what that is.
Yep.
So, you know, you as a business owner shouldn't know anything really about the health conditions of your employees. It's kind of unless
mental
they
or physical.
Sure, it can cause a number of liability you know, issues. So, you know, they see it as an invasive question just because I think they assume that, you know, there's going to be their boss looking over their health history or something. That's not the case.
My boss likes to do that.
And Alex, and what Jeff described earlier, the old process with an HMO, it's rated on your family size, zip code,
yeah, very
industry.
Big.
There's nothing personal at all that's asked about you. So this is a new way to identify information because you're underwriting it.
Exactly. Individually medically underwritten are what these partially self-funded plans are. So, you know, just a different approach.
I think it's great that Roblin offers so many different approaches in a world that a lot of times you just see the same plan designs and premiums come in. So I think it's great. How would they get in touch with you, Jeff, if somebody wanted to reach out to you?
Well, our website is a good place to start. www.roblininsurance.com, or we're in Needham right off 128. Perhaps you've seen our sign. You can come and knock on our door and come on in, and we can talk to you like that too. How would they reach me? My number is 781-726-6361. So that rings right to my
great open access, great ideas. Alex, yeah. This was great.
It's great. Jeff, it was a pleasure having you back on. Very exciting stuff, very exciting information. As I'm sure our listeners are learning from you today. I just want to say you could be found on Google+, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can find us on all of our social media platforms. You can also go on www.radioentrepreneurs.com and listen to this interview. Again, it's going to be on for 45 days. Again, Jeff, pleasure to have you. And we look.
Thank you guys so much for having me back.
We look forward to having you back, and we will be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.